Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning Jody Anderson, who has a special job.
A special job, yes.
Tell us what that is.
I am the relatively new director at the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center, a UAF facility right here in the heart of Palmer.
Tell us a little bit about the history of that place, and then we'll turn to your personal history of how it is a nice person like you has come to be in charge of it.
Sure, absolutely. So the history of the farm is fascinating, actually. It's over just over 100 years old. It was a land grant of a section of land from the railroad, and so the federal government, to the state of Alaska, to develop the land grant institution university at in Fairbanks. At the time, it was the University of Agriculture and Mines, and so and then from that point, the purpose of the farm is really all about developing research to help the people of Alaska. Huh. So the mission of any land grant institution is to respond to the needs of the stakeholders of the state. And at that time, in the early 19-teens, it was really necessary to help the homesteaders figure out the different types of forage crops that they could use for their livestock.
Got it.
And then from forage research came dairy research. It was a working dairy for many, many years. Many people in the valley remember taking field trips while they were in elementary school out to the farm to see the cow with the hole in her side.
Yeah. Right. How long do you know how long that cow was there?
You know, I'm sure that there were iterations of cows, I would assume. But I know that until the early 90s.
Right.
And it's very interesting, the fistulated cow, the cow with the hole in her side, that was actually really some really critical digestive research and nutritional analysis work that was done with her and her gut.
So that hasn't been the case, of course, for some time.
Correct. We are no longer a dairy.
Right.
We do have cattle, but they are beef.
Right.
And it's a very small herd. They have been involved in research themselves. Most recently, with Dr. Norm Harris, our retired range management professor, he actually was studying their movements throughout the day and to see the patterns that they take that would then help any rancher that was interested, you know, to know where to pasture them at certain times of the day based on kind of what they like, what they want, whether they want shade or whether they want trees or whether they want open pasture or that sort of thing.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So those we no longer have research with them. Dr. Harris has retired. But as the farm progressed, there was a tremendous amount of research that was done on apple varieties. And so we kind of were the beginning of a lot of different studies in Alaska, because even at the time of the homesteaders and then after that, the colonists that came in, certainly these were people who were successful farmers in the lower 48. And they were from generally northern tier states that were colder and, you know, generally a little bit different than, say, in the south farming. But the interesting part is that Alaska is different than even just northern tier farming. So our response was finding those varieties that work up here, knowing that.
Got it.
Yeah, knowing that crucifers, you know, all of your coal crops, your brassicas, all of your broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and all those delicious cabbages, they work very well up here. But what varieties of those work the best? And that's really what we really focused on at the farm for many, many years. There was forestry work as well. We currently have about 907 acres of land. We have about 80 acres in Freshwater Lake, about 200 or so acres of pasture, whether right. it's hayed or with cattle on, and that includes also our facilities area, and then the rest of it is all forested. And the joke is that really anywhere that's flat, that's a pasture. Everything else is a forest. So we're in a really interesting geological setting where okay. the farm is located, and we're on eskers, so glacial eskers, so basically the end moraines of the glaciers. So lots of gravel, not great topsoil, actually. They did not pick the best soil in the valley to put the experiment farm on.
Right.
But it is certainly workable, and there are patches that are pretty glorious, so... Yeah.
So that's a good overview. We know where it's located, of course. It's at that interchange, so it's accessible primarily from the Parks Highway in a convoluted kind of way now.
Yeah, now with the roundabout for the hospital and the new trunk road,
right.
we're right next to that. And the main area is, if you follow the old trunk road down, it's now called Georgeson Way, but Georgeson Drive. But if you follow that, that's where we're located.
Right, right. Used to be you'd drive by all the time because that was the route.
But exactly.
Then the trunk road was finally fixed up and not so much. It's a pretty spot, and I know that it attracts people in part because the area above the lake is a wonderful place to walk and ride a bike and things like that. So those trails are open to the public as well?
Exactly. We have closed the core area down right behind the farm. That is our main area of research. It's where our equipment is, and we are a working farm. And so for liability's sake and for safety's sake, we've closed that core down. But we have built a new parking lot for trail access.
Okay.
It is just north of the MEA substation on Georgeson Drive. So as you pass the farm, go up the hill around the corner. And then just on your right, it's almost a two-acre parking lot with gravel from the farm. So we didn't harvest it from anywhere else. It's
right.
harvested there. And we had that built in August. And there's the trailhead there is access to the Greenbelt Trail System, which is 33 miles of trail.
Of course.
And which is wonderful. But the farm access itself, what people call trails at the farm are really farm roads. But we're certainly we're open to letting people access the Greenbelt system from that and to use
the because
roads.
You can come in from there and then go all the way through over to Crevasse Moraine and
absolutely.
All around. You've got all that wonderful place
you
to go.
Do. Head down south to Matanuska Lakes. You
right.
can go north and head toward the college. So, yeah.
So in terms of two things immediately. One, funding. What's the source of funding for the farm?
We are the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and
okay.
so our funding is through Fairbanks. We have funding through Hatch Funds, which are research funds for extension research for university research through the land-grant universities, so federal funding. Certainly because we are also part of the university system, we do have state funding as well. We do have a foundation account so that which will actually be kind of kicking into in a probably this springtime, starting a Friends of the Farm group and uh-huh. working on developing a little bit more money in that foundation so that we can work on being a little bit more forward-thinking in some of our plans.
People. How many people are involved working at the farm?
In terms of people, we are human capital poor. We have, even though our numbers aren't big, the people we have are pretty amazing people. And the results of the earthquake on Friday certainly show that we have working for me, I have six individuals, but two of them are just weekend and feed the cows. And so But yeah, mainly there's a maintenance, there's a herd master and a machinist, and then the administrative support, and so and me, and that's it. But the good news is that we're more than just an experiment center. We are now also the extension center. So Cooperative Extension is housed upstairs in Curtula Hall.
So that's a separate group
ish.
Sort of. Okay, talk more.
So Cooperative Extension Service is the outreach component of any land-grant institution. So they're really beholden to getting that research to the people. So helping people kind of in those ivory towers of the university break down and get that information to the stakeholders so that they do have better lives. So in our case, we have 4-H, we have agriculture, and we have home health and family. So we've got a lot of really cool stuff going on in terms of Cooperative Extension Service. That is the headquarters for the Mat-Su and Copper River Valleys. And
used to be located right here in downtown Palmer, moved out there. So how many people are associated with the Cooperative Extension Service?
1, 2, 3. I'm sorry, I have to count. That's sad. Let's see.
In round figures, it's sort of
8. Ish. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not lonely out there.
No, not too lonely. And I could always go talk to the cows, which isn't uncommon to see me do.
So in the past, you've talked about those times when people would come out to the Extension Service, or rather the farm, experimental farm, and visit, see the cow and so on. What kind of people would come to the farm these days?
Great question. We're really trying to remain relevant to the community as much as we can. Our history has really been an amazing foundation at the farm, but we're working right now on moving forward and not being held back by our history. And so the last Wednesday of each month, I offer a farm tour. It's free to the public. We announce it on our Facebook page, and that's an opportunity for families, individuals, students to come out to the farm, and I give an hour or so guided tour in the core area that is closed down to the general public. Mm-hmm. This Friday, we just got word late yesterday that we will be pushing forward with our plans for our community open house. As part of Colony Christmas, we're having holidays at the farm, and we will, from 4 to 6, it'll be an opportunity for people to come out with their children. There'll be things to do, lots of activities, a chance to talk to Cooperative Extension agents if you have questions about your garden or how to can or how to get your younger people involved in 4-H. And leadership development and small grains. So there'll be all kinds of things. There'll be snacks and goodies for everyone. And then at about 5:30, we'll have a tree lighting ceremony, and we'll be done by 6 so everyone can get back into town for all of the
other
Colony
activities,
Christmas
right.
activities.
Okay,
yeah.
That's this Friday coming right up.
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
So there's always things going on at the farm. And this summer, we're going to actually work on really getting information out to the public as much as we possibly can for any work that we're doing. We want to have people there learning with us. So we're going to be with a collaboration, thankfully, again, with the Division of Agriculture and the Plant Materials Center with Rob Carter, working with them, trying to get our potatoes back out to the farm. So what we're planning is hopefully between 230 and 240 varieties of potatoes. We'll run 4 hills of each variety and inviting the public along the whole path. So from the very beginning, you've got turf, you want to turn it into a garden, come out on Wednesday and check it out, to we're hilling today, come out, watch us hill.
Watch how that all
Absolutely.
Works. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful opportunity. Okay, we've done a nice job, I think, of covering both the history and the present circumstances of the farm. Then there's you.
There's me.
So tell us a little bit about who you are in terms of your experience and how you got to be there at the farm.
Oh, sure. I've lived here in the valley and in Alaska for 15 years and moved up to specifically work with UAF in Palmer as a curriculum designer, and then very quickly moved into the School of Natural Resources and Agricultural Sciences, and worked as an instructor and faculty member and kind of applied research person.
Okay.
Where I ran the Alaska Community Horticulture Program, decided to venture into higher academia, worked on a PhD in soils, soil biochemistry specifically, and when the Agricultural Research Service from USDA, when they pulled out of Alaska back in 2010, they were kind of the sugar daddy in terms of funding for all agricultural research. And okay. So there went my funding as well. I then translated all of my skills into the corporate world for about 5 years.
Right.
And worked for a consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then was able to get on with the Division of Agriculture and be the coordinator for the Alaska Farm to School program for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then this position opened up, and it feels like coming home. So I think it's kind of a full
big circle.
Big circle,
right.
Absolutely.
Big circle. Great. Well, you seem to be happy with the whole process. And for listeners, what we plan to do is to have Jody Anderson come in once a month. We're going to be doing this show. Today was kind of the overview, taking a look at the whole business of the farm and so on. And in subsequent programs, we'll focus down on more specifics. You've teased a little bit with just the idea of potatoes. I know so many people who plant potatoes. Some are successful, but there's always these questions. And having visited people like Vanderweel and so on, and realized that when he speaks with the authority of decades.
Yes.
And the nuance of what he has been able to pull off that seems so easy for him to do. still escapes the backyard gardener.
Yes, absolutely. Well, when people make it look easy, it's because they know what they're doing.
Yes, that's true. Okay, in the last minutes we have here, is there anything else you want to share with listeners?
I just would like everyone to know that that in addition to all of the UAF work and university work that goes on at the farm, we also have Alaska Department of Fish and Game doing nutritional research on moose and caribou.
Ah.
So they've been out there with about a 20-acre paddock with large animals, and they've been doing nutritional studies to...
But no moose with holes in their side.
Not anymore. We did have a moose.
Did?
We did.
Oh.
We did, yes.
How about that?
But these are orphans, and
yes.
So they are involved in research to help Fish and Game work on population dynamics throughout the state based on the browse and the food available to the moose. So not that they're the university, but they're certainly doing the work of a land-grant institution by making sure that the stakeholders are involved in the whole process and that it comes back to everyone. And just stay tuned to our Facebook page. We're keeping that very open and active, and we push a lot of information through that.
Okay. And what is the Facebook that they should address they should be looking at?
I believe it is Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Oh, okay.
The whole
but
thing.
Anyone who uses Facebook knows that you start throwing a little bit of it in there, it comes popping
it should
right
pop up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Jody Anderson, thank you very much for coming in and sharing something about a farm that has had a long history. Many people have been out there in the days past. They still go there for a variety of reasons, and we look forward to hearing more about all of that. I hope you have a good day today.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate it.